Well, I want to make a slight adjustment to the way we use our confessional and catechism lesson. Typically, it's been my pattern to connect the confessional lesson to the evening sermon text, but I'm going to switch that up just a bit. And instead, I want to begin just working through the shorter catechism and do so in a way that touches on some apologetic issues in so much as we can. And having said that, I do want to say there are going to be times in our study of Kings where we're going to get into matters of worship or where we're going to be thinking deeply about the attributes of God. And in those instances, we'll use the confessions and catechisms as we have in the past. But for a while, we're going to work through the Westminster Shorter Catechism in a sequential or systematic way, as I said, and hoping to make apologetic application where it's appropriate. Now, this morning we're going to look at the first and second question and answer of the Shorter Catechism. You can find that on page 968 in the back of your hymnal, the first and second question. What is the chief end of man? A man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. I've said this before, but I do indeed always marvel at those who think the Catechism is a dusty and irrelevant document. I mean, there are a handful of philosophical questions that every person from every culture in every era of human history will surely ask. And here are a few of them. Who am I? Why am I here? Does life have meaning? And if it does, what is it? And how do I know? And let me assure you, if you've ever taken a philosophy class, your teacher spent a lot of time pondering those questions, or at least pondering the ponderings of philosophers who wrestled with those questions. And our catechism answers those profound questions with incredible clarity and precision. First off, our catechism presupposes that man has an end. There is a purpose for which we're created. And second, it tells us that the purpose has to be understood in relationship to our Creator. We're created by a God of infinite glory to reflect His glory, and our lives have meaning to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. That's who we are. That's the meaning of life. That's our purpose. And how do we know? Because the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, tell us. It's easy enough to think, well, Pastor Bird, that just sounds like Presbyterianism 101, and to be sure, you'd be right. But we mustn't miss that the Catechism is addressing the big questions of what it means to be a human being. Who am I? Why am I here? Does my life have meaning? And how do I know? And let me say something that I don't think will sound especially bold to most of you, but I would surely stand by it one way or the other. And that is, every problem we presently see in our culture, all the chaos, all the weird, nonsensical ideas that masquerade as intelligent thought in our broader society, they're grounded in a secular and atheistic worldview that wants to assert man has no transcendent meaning for existence. There's just you. There's the here and there's the now, so deal with it. That's all there is. Back in 2016, a very prominent science journalist by the name of Graham Lawton wrote an article and he presented a single question. What is the meaning of life? And he answered it with stunning clarity from the perspective of his worldview. Listen to the very candid way he answered this. The harsh answer is, our lives have none. Your life might feel like a big deal to you, but it's actually a random blip of matter and energy in an uncaring and impersonal universe. When it ends, a few people will remember you for a while, but they'll die too. Even if you make the history books, your contribution will soon be forgotten. Humans will go extinct. Earth and the sun will be destroyed. Eventually, the universe itself will end. Against this appalling reality, how can a human life have any real meaning? You see, what he's saying, and he's saying with a lot more clarity than a lot of atheists and secular folks say, is man has no real end, much less a chief end. You're a cosmic blip with no meaning. Of course, we know that no matter how loud they shout that, people who hold to some form of secular materialism or atheism, they don't actually believe that. And you know how we know that? Because they live their lives as though they have meaning. They don't live as though their lives are meaningless. Quite the contrary. These are the folks who are constantly doing new things, inventing new ideas, creating man-made morals, attempting to save the planet, attempting to fix society, or to do something, anything to help them make them feel like their lives have meaning. And because they pursue meaning and significance apart from their Creator, they end up with a cacophony of chaos. That's what we're living through right now. That's the world around us. Well, these are big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Does life have meaning? And if so, what is it? And how do I know? And the Catechism jumps right in with some big answers. I look forward to working through the Catechism together. For now, let's continue praising the Lord. We'll stand to sing number 213. Number 213.